Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Rising and gunning from the line is KCP, and he knocks it down. Green by Baines for Katavia. Steps back and fires and fills it up. Not an easy shot. John Luehr can take it to the rim. Does. Lays it up. Lays it in. Count that baby and a foul. Tobias backs in, scoops it, scores it. 2 and a 24, that's all. Tobias rises and guns and it goes. Benno to the basket, scoops it, scores it. Clock at 5, inside for Baines. Hooks it, hits it.
That was a beautiful steal by Aaron Baines, who's been very active.
Tobias is open. In and out and back in again from downtown. On the break, Tobias jams it. Here's Smith, kisses the high glass with a hook on the run. Some great Piston D has led to a 104-88 victory.
Defense at home has been great. We need to try to get our defense on the road up to the level of what it has been at home for whatever reason. That's something that should be pretty consistent from night to night. But there shouldn't be the gap in defensive numbers that we have right now. We were really on it defensively. As tough as Russell is to stop, and he was tremendous again tonight, I thought we did a good job of limiting them. And then, you know, we did enough offensively, particularly in the first half.
Irving to Love. Love, hot step, hits a three. Love fakes the three. Nice pass inside. And James able to back it in. Kevin Love very active and aggressive to start this game. Tough fall away shot. Gets the bounce. Kevin Love's 3 for 3. James gets it down low. Kicks it out. Love steps back. Kevin Love, 4 for 4 from the field, and the lead is 11. Kyrie Irving, who bounced back in game 4, rattles that one in. Irving, oh, nice crossover move, and the left hand. Irving for 3, bang! James drives, and lays it in with a foul. Swarming defense, another turnover. Here comes James, and the Cavaliers are taking apart the Raptors.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
What's going on? Welcome to the Extravaganza Radio on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo sports leader Bob France. With you, Jim Cushlin is here. Mr. Scream, how you feeling, dog? Ah, I see you brought the missus along today. Mrs. Scream, how are you? Oh, what a sweetheart you are. No, that's not nice at all. All right, you're a little bit of now and then in the montage to start the program this afternoon. Now, meaning last night's Pistons demolition of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Heard a little bit from Stan Van Gundy about that. It's about the only thing I want to hear from Stan Van Gundy these days. Break down basketball. Keep the rest to yourself. And then that was the now part. The then, I asked Jim Cushlin to mix in a little bit of the Eastern Conference Finals from this past season. And the reason why? Well, because there is a rematch. And they are, at least record-wise, the two teams that contested for the Eastern Conference title last year and a spot in the NBA Finals are, once again, it would appear, the best two teams in the Eastern Conference. The Cavaliers tonight, 8-1, hosting the 7-2 Toronto Raptors. The Hawks, by the way, are also 7-2. And they dealt the Cavaliers their only loss of this young basketball season. But it is Cavs and Raptors, and the NBA's leading scorer, DeMar DeRozan, in the house out there in Cleveland for a game tonight. So that's the now and then, I should say, as we begin the program. And, oh, my, what else we have to talk about today. It does involve the National Basketball Association. It does involve the best player in the NBA. LeBron James. LeBron James, by the way, is very, very excited to once again be viewed as the very best player in the NBA. This was an ESPN ranking that was done over the weekend. We didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday, but we probably should. It was just that, you know, yesterday was Monday. After the crazy day we had on Saturday and college football, we had to spend all day doing college football. And guess what? Tomorrow we'll probably do more college football than we do today. And the reason why, of course, is tonight will be the third edition of the College Football Playoff Rankings. That show will be on ESPN tonight. Nothing but a moneymaker. It's all it is. It's a moneymaker. It's a ratings grabber. It's part of the sales pitch. It has nothing to do with the entire decision-making process with respect to the national championship contenders. But they'll have that again tonight, and we'll react to it tomorrow like the sheep that we are. We will dutifully follow right along with what they feed us. Jim, do you realize that? Do you realize how stupid it is that we even talk about this? Because I was thinking about it a little bit yesterday. We spent the whole show saying,
right,
what will the rankings look like now? Now that Clemson lost at number two, Ohio State, or excuse me, Michigan lost at number three in the CFP left from last week, and Washington, number four, all lost. And then Ohio State had a big win. They're going to move up. We spent all of this time talking about where they are in the week three ranking of the College Football Playoff ranking. But if you listen to the letter of the law as laid down by the committee themselves, they say every week is a blank slate. They say every week we look at who we think the best teams in the country are. Last week's rankings are out the window, so it's not bumping somebody from 5 to 2. In their mind, it's this week we and each individual, you know, elector or selector in the 12-person committee gets to, you know, put their own top 25 together in that regard. But each one can say, I believe Ohio State this week is the second best team in the country. I don't care where they were last week. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying I think they deserve to go up 3 spots, and I think Clemson only deserves to go down 1 spot for their loss. They're just saying this is who I think the best teams are this week. If that's the case, if they're being honest, and that's the truth, then essentially what I just said is true. The ranking 2 weeks ago was nothing but television. The ranking last week and the ranking tonight, television. It's just to get people talking about their product. It's just to get people watching TV, patronizing the sponsors, and making money off of them. Because if they say it truly does not build upon itself from 1 week to the next, that each week is a blank slate and independent of any and all other circumstances, then the only one of these that anybody should ever watch would be the last one, because they're starting with a blank slate. They got 130 or whatever it is, Division I FBS teams, and away we go. That's it. That's the way it works. We're gonna just rank them from where we are right now, and what last week had to say is completely irrelevant. So basically, we're all being played for suckers. We're just kind of being marched around on a leash. Come over here, watch this. Now come over here and see what we think the top teams are. By the way, next week, this will be null and void, and we'll wipe it clean. You believe them?
I do to a certain degree. I really do.
So we're being played then?
Yeah. I mean, it is a TV thing. I probably, honest to goodness, Bob, I probably won't even watch the show. I'll wait till it's over, and because within
seconds,
the
rankings. I've never watched the show,
Jim. Exactly.
But what I have done is given it its time by talking about it here with you and
right.
Callers and guests. I get, you know, that's what their goal is here, is just to drive up their
sure.
You know, viewership and clicks on their webpage and you know, and try to enhance their product. They're using us to endorse their product.
Mm-hmm.
They're using every fan with a social media account. So then they can say, oh my God, the committee had Clemson at number 9. You know, wow, they, you know, it just, that's ridiculous. And that's going to make people click and say, who did that? How did they rank them? What were their statements? What did they make? What did they say? I might go back and watch that on DVR. You know, it's just a way of getting people to talk about something
yeah.
that, according to them, is irrelevant when it comes to the final ranking after the conference championship weekend.
Yeah, and that's obviously the other key to the situation, too, is if they're going to take the attitude that we think they are, which is every week is a clean slate, as you're saying, then it is mostly an entertainment purpose in a way for right now. And the only one that matters, and obviously given some of the scenarios, Bob, that we laid out yesterday, all I want to know is the end rankings and how much stock gets put into conference champions, because
exactly.
they claim these
Which
last
means,
2 years that's a big, big thing.
And if, once again, if the conference championship ranking does have an extraordinary weight attached to it when they come out with their final four, then – why should we even be paying attention to all of these weeks before conference championship games are played?
I will say the
it's
only...
Just, it's pointless. It is absolutely pointless to watch that show tonight, and I will not, and I would encourage everyone else not to as well. However, being in the line of work that we are, we're going to speculate as to what that means going forward on tomorrow's show, even though they have said it should mean, and this is the key, Jim, they're telling you it doesn't count.
Right.
They're telling us. It doesn't count because nothing we say tonight will be considered next Tuesday night as we go from a blank slate. So why should we analyze something tomorrow, which we will? Why should we analyze something tomorrow, which they are telling us will mean nothing next Tuesday? That's the crazy part about this.
No, and that's a good point to bring up. About the only positive I could say about how these rankings are done and week by week is at least they wait long enough to give you the first one. How many times have we legitimately complained about all these stupid preseason polls? Look how useless they are once the season starts. You should wait a couple weeks. That's
not a couple weeks. I said it should be the first Monday in October.
Right, right. You got your 4 weeks or so in at that point, and I've agreed with that. That's about the only thing they do right is that they wait long enough to actually give you the first.
But they don't even do that because this is different. You're stumbling upon something here that's different.
See, I'm trying to throw them a bone, and they're just throwing it back in my face anyway.
Well, yeah, because you know the pollsters never say anything like "I start with a blank slate each week." They say, I believe somebody deserved to fall three spots for that loss or up or whatever. They don't, you know, they look back at what they did the week before and they adjusted accordingly.
Yep.
Why? Because they can't, by definition, none of them can watch every game played.
Of course.
So they have to say, this is what I had them last week. What was that score? Huh, let me look at the stat line. Let me see how they won. Was it a last second? Did they control the game, but it just kind of wasn't a big spread? You know, and then they decide, all right, I'm going to keep them there or I'm going to bump them one. But that's different than what the CFP does. The College Football Playoff Committee says we are scratching it all out. We erase everything week to week. What Ohio State did last week in winning 62-3 means nothing in their eyes. It's what they do this week against, who do they have? Who's Ohio State have? Oh, Michigan State.
Yep.
You know, it's what they do this week. We're going to look and see who the best teams in the country are that we see playing football this week. What happened last week is irrelevant. At least that's what they tell us, which means all of this is pointless. So we're not going to talk much more about that. I just wanted to throw that in there, and that was my backdrop for the story about the NBA. Yesterday, we probably would have talked about ESPN finally completing their player rankings for 2016, which happened over the weekend. And they did so, and we didn't talk about it because of the college football mess that we just described. But here we are. The top players in the NBA, 5 through 1, according to ESPN, getting to the end of this over the weekend. Number 5, Russell Westbrook, who, of course, lost last night in the game against the Pistons. Number 4, the 4th best player in the NBA today, according to ESPN.com's survey, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard of the Spurs. Number 3, a Golden State Warrior. Which one? It's Kevin Durant. Number 2, Steph Curry. And number 1, for the 6th year in a row, ESPN has rated LeBron James the best player in the NBA. Now, I use all of that to set up this. A little bit earlier today, maybe you heard about it on Russillo and Cannell. Maybe you heard Lebatard talking about it a little bit earlier on. It wouldn't have been on Mike and Mike this morning because it happened at the Cavaliers shoot-around late in the morning. Phil Jackson, the president of the New York Knicks, apparently did an interview talking about the struggling New York Knicks and what it's like to try to build and put that franchise together from the position that he is in. And so he did an interview about that difficult challenge, of course, with Jackie McMullen of ESPN. And that article came out apparently, was it this morning was it released? No, it was yesterday. It was yesterday. And Phil Jackson asked about a myriad of subjects around the NBA, including the Knicks, of course, how difficult it is to coach as opposed to being a president as opposed to coaching. They asked him about Jeff Hornacek. Is he running the triangle offense well enough for you? Is that what you want to see? Can the triangle still be effective in today's game? What kind of a team do you want to see the Knicks become? What NBA teams impress you? What other teams do you like? He said, of course, Golden State, obviously. Then he said Cleveland has really gotten together better about playing together as a team. Asked about Greg Popovich and what kind of a relationship he has with Popovich. And then the question from Jackie McMullen that started all of the trouble. Not that it's her fault, by the way. Jackie McMullen says, and actually I should back up one question. Jackie McMullen asks Phil Jackson, you, Popovich, and Pat Riley are the most decorated coaches of your generation. What separates Riley? And Phil Jackson's reply was, Pat has a terrific sense of what he wants to do. Now that I'm president, I have to read all of this stuff about the league. Usually it's delete, delete, delete. But I noticed there was something about D. Wade and Pat's communication breaking down the other day. I wondered about that. I found it surprising. Then Jackie McMullen says, it all started when LeBron left, right? Could you have ever imagined Irvin Johnson leaving Riley? Or Michael Jordan leaving you? And Phil Jackson's reply was, it had to hurt when they lost him. It had to hurt when they lost LeBron. That was definitely a slap in the face. But there were a lot of little things that came out of that. When LeBron was playing with the Heat, they went to Cleveland and he wanted to spend the night. They don't do overnights. Teams just don't. So now Spoelstra has to text Riley and say, what do I do in this situation? And Pat, who has iron fist rules, answers, you are on the plane. You are with this team. You cannot hold up the whole team because you and your mom and your posse want to spend an extra night in Cleveland. I always thought Pat had this really nice vibe with his guys, but something happened there where it broke down. I do know LeBron likes special treatment. He needs things his way. And that's the end of the quote. Jackie McMullen then gets into Derrick Rose and the rest of the Knicks stuff and some other things, but that was the quote that LeBron James was asked about this morning at their shoot-around. Predictably, LeBron James was ready for the question. Not only was he ready for the question, he was ready with an answer, and it was one that was not short on anger and disappointment. This is the reporter. Now, bear with me on the audio quality here from the shoot-around this morning out in Cleveland. The reporter's questions are off mic, so they might not be loud enough for you to hear. Bear with me if you kind of can't hear it. I'll repeat it for you as LeBron tries to answer, if that helps things out. But this is the initial part of the question when the reporter asks him about Phil Jackson's comments.
Not right now.
Phil Jackson made a comment. Jack McMullen said that he feels like you prefer special treatment in the NBA, and he also talks about yourself and Rich and Bev and Randy, those guys, as a posse.
Yeah.
What did Maverick about last night? He was kind of upset. Do you have any comment on that?
Okay, before we get to the comment, just he resets what I just said. He said, Phil Jackson said in an interview with Jackie McMullen that you like special treatment and that you like to have special treatment for your posse, and would you like to comment on that? That's essentially what the question from the reporter was, and here's LeBron.
I've been in this league 14 years, and, you know, from the beginning, you know, 2 years in, I felt like that I wanted to, put my guys in a position of power and give those guys an opportunity to better themselves. And, in the beginning we were highly criticized, and I was highly criticized about what I wanted to do to help some guys around me become very successful in business. And, it just sucks that, now at this point, having one of the, biggest businesses that you can have both on and off the floor, having a certified agent in Rich Paul, having a certified business partner in Maverick Carter, that's done so many great business, that the title for young African Americans is the word posse, so it's, for me, we see the success that we had, but then there's always someone that, lets you know how far we still have to go as African Americans, I just don't believe that Phil Jackson would have used that same term if he was doing business with someone else, working with another team, or if he was working with anybody in sports that was owning a team that wasn't African American and they had a group of guys around him that he didn't agree with what they did, I don't think he would have called him a posse.
So LeBron James is upset. Apparently so is his business partner Maverick Carter. He is upset over the use of the word posse. He feels it is some sort of racially coded word for African Americans who are trying to make a difference. He said much, much more in that morning shoot-around. We are going to play that for you, and we're going to break that down, and we're going to talk about it with Rick Noland, who was there on the scene. He was one of the reporters in that group interview of LeBron James this morning at their shoot-around as they get ready to take on the Toronto Raptors in a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. So Rick Noland will join us about that. It went on. It went on for quite some time this morning. LeBron James very, very upset, leaving a lot of people to wonder exactly how many other words out there are going to be taken as being coded words for racial criticism. How many words are going to be co-opted, if you will, and rendered off limits because somebody is going to take that as a racially coded word that that is critical of young African Americans? Because I'm pretty certain Phil Jackson is very, very surprised about hearing all of this right now, waiting for his response, by the way. And you know what? We're going to ask you, too, particularly if you happen to be African American, if you happen to be a black person in America listening to this show right now. Do you find the word posse that LeBron James apparently finds so offensive that he felt the need to spend about 7 minutes of a 10-minute press conference discussing it this morning? Do you find that word to be racist? Because that's what the inference is here. And further inferences, which I'll play for you, LeBron essentially suggests that maybe Phil Jackson is indeed a racist. If you find that astounding, you're not the only one. But I want to hear what you have to say about it, and we're going to hear what Rick Noland has to say about it when we continue right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Rolling on our weed is 3:35 right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. We'll open up the phone lines to talk about the definition of the word as you understand it and to talk about its meaning, to talk about its connotation. Do you think it has racial connotations? And we're going to take your phone calls on that at 866-240-1065. What are we talking about? Of course, we're talking about the word posse, a word that Phil Jackson, the next president, used to describe LeBron James' entourage of business partners and hangers-on and whatever else you want to call them that seem to follow him around everywhere he goes in his career. Phil Jackson used that word. LeBron James didn't like it at all.
It's a lot, but to use that label, and if you go and read the definition of what the word posse is, it's not what I've built over my career. It's not what I stand for. It's not what my family stands for, and I believe the only reason he used that word because he see young African Americans trying to make a difference.
And suddenly the rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals is on the back burner tonight as the Cavaliers play host to the Toronto Raptors, and the NBA's leading scorer, DeMar DeRozan. Here to talk about all of it with us is Rick Noland, Cavaliers beat writer, familiar friend of the program. And Rick Noland, thanks for the time this afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good. I've already put in about 3 or 4 hours of work that I didn't plan on doing, but I'll get through it.
Yeah, is that doesn't happen often, does it, Rick? Where, you know, when you're a beat writer, obviously you cover the shoot-arounds and any locker room availability and coach availability. You got to go and get the quotes about that night's game and how the teams are playing and all that sort of thing. And there's normally just basketball storylines, but bang, suddenly something like this is just thrown at you, hits you between the eyes, and as you point out, you got a lot more work to do.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things because of the subject matter. You know, and some of the things going on in this country right now that as a journalist, you know, you think, okay, I got to get this done and get it posted online, you know, ASAP. So yeah, it was definitely different. You know, it's something that, everybody has a reaction to. Some are informed reactions, some are knee jerk, you know, some are overblown, some are a failure to understand how the other side feels on certain things. So
let's start with LeBron's reaction. Once he was told about there, or once he read about it or heard about it or whatever, how would you characterize his reaction? Was it measured and thoughtful, or was it knee-jerk?
I thought it was very measured. You could tell he was choosing his words carefully. But you could also tell he was very intent on getting across a point, that he was upset by it. I think his initial response, when I typed the audio version into Word format, was basically 6 paragraphs long. He went on, you know, ad nauseum, about the entire subject. I think he felt like he had to say something. Did he overreact? I don't know. That's for other people to decide. You know, I think he felt like this wasn't something he could just brush off with one or two senses, that if he was going to go into it, then he had to go into it full bore. And, you know, I think he set that precedent, too, Bob. He's not been shy about voicing his opinions on a lot of different things the last several years. So, you know, once you do that, you're pretty much going to be asked your take on anything of this nature, particularly when it applies to you and your family and your friends and business partners.
Rick Noland is our guest. He is a Cavaliers beat writer. He was there in that media circle surrounding LeBron James at the shoot-around today, getting ready for the Cavaliers and the Raptors in an Eastern Conference final rematch tonight. DeMar DeRozan coming into town, and everybody's talking about Phil Jackson now. Were you surprised by Phil Jackson's candidness there? Did you read the entire interview with Jackie McMullen to kind of get context?
I don't know that I saw the entire thing. I saw several different versions of people using the part that applied to this. And I should correct you, too, Bob. I was not at shoot-around. It's 45 minutes from my home, which would entail. But they do supply me the complete audio, and the video of it is also available on Cavs.com. So,
gotcha. Understood. Yeah, when you were kind enough to share that audio with me, I thought it was from your own recording device. So my apologies for that. For those who didn't hear it, Rick, I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read the Jackie McMullen interview, or at least that the pertinent section mm-hmm. here with Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson was asked first about Greg Popovich and Pat Riley, the most decorated coaches of the generation, along with him. And he was asked what separates Riley, and he mentioned something about Dwayne Wade and Pat's communication breaking down with him, and he wondered about that, which led to Jackie McMullen's question. It all started with LeBron when LeBron left, right? Could you have ever imagined Irvin Johnson leaving Riley or Michael Jordan leaving you? And that's when Phil said, quote, "It had to hurt when they lost LeBron. That was definitely a slap in the face. But there were a lot of little things that came out of that. When LeBron was playing with the Heat, they went to Cleveland and he wanted to spend the night. They don't do overnights. Teams just don't. So now Spoelstra has to text Riley and say, what do I do in this situation? And Pat, who has iron fist rules, answers, you are on the plane. You are with this team. You can't hold up the whole team because you and your mom and your posse want to spend an extra night in Cleveland. I always thought Pat had this really nice vibe with his guys, but something happened there where it broke down. I do know LeBron likes special treatment. He needs things his way." End quote. So that's the context, just to provide that for anybody who wants to know in what context did he use the word posse. And he was obviously referring to Maverick Carter and Rich Paul and I think it was Mims, Randy Mims, his three tightest people who have been with him really since he broke into the NBA. So that's the context there. Now, when you hear it that way, Rick, what is your reaction to Phil's use of the word and really his entire answer about LeBron liking special treatment and, quote, needing things his way?
Well, you know, I think superstars have gotten that special treatment, for ages. I think the whole thing boils down to the use of one word, and that's posse. Did Phil mean it in a racist way? I would say almost certainly, absolutely not. Did he mean it in somewhat of a dig, negative connotation way? Probably. I don't know that for sure. He may, you know, in the coming days refute that and say it's just a word that he happened to use. I think we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think even Maverick Carter went out of his way to say that he wasn't accusing Phil of being racist. He just thought it was some, coded language. I think we all kind of jump to things that we already, believe at heart in these matters. And some people are going to immediately say LeBron is going to be too sensitive. Some people are going to say Phil, intentionally used that word. I think what people should spend more time doing is trying to understand how both sides feel. And from LeBron's standpoint, I can see how he took offense to that word posse. I think he also felt obligated to stick up for his friends and business partners. I've been asking myself since I heard that tape this morning, have I ever used that word with LeBron and his business group? And I don't think that I ever have. I can't swear with absolute certainty that I didn't, but I'm pretty sure that I have not, either verbally or in print. I think I did on numerous occasions, especially early in his career before LRMR was even formed in 06. I think I did refer it several times as an entourage. I don't know the full Webster's definition of that word. I don't know if that would be viewed negatively or not. But, you know, words have different meanings to different people, and I think that's what people, not trying to be politically correct here, but I think people should stop sometimes and consider how it offends the other side rather than immediately just jumping to some beliefs and notions that I think they look for anything to back that up.
I think there's some truth to what you say, but I also think that that needs to be extended in the other direction. As you said, words have different meanings to different people. I think it's unfortunate when somebody who may take offense to a word doesn't give the speaker of the word the benefit of the doubt, saying maybe that word means something different to him than what I'm hearing right now. And when you said that Maverick Carter went out of his way to say he doesn't think that Phil is racist, I don't know that LeBron James gave him the same courtesy in that press conference or in that interview session this morning. And let me play the clip I'm talking about here.
You know, he says it out to the media. Can only imagine what he says when the camera's not on him or the headset is not on or whatever you guys record on.
That, to me, is a very strong insinuation. For those who didn't understand it, if the audio quality was not great, he said that if he says that out to the media, use the word posse, you can only imagine what he says when the camera isn't on or whatever you guys record with. That's insinuating that he uses perhaps worse racially coded words in private. And that, to me, is a very, very strong insinuation, if not accusation, to make about a guy who, I don't think you can work in the NBA for as long as he has. He played in the league, he coached in the league forever, and he has been surrounded by African Americans his entire career. To suggest that that man is racist in some way because he used the word posse that LeBron James didn't like, I think is very dangerous.
Yeah, I certainly see the point. I had that reaction to it as well. I think he probably was trying to infer something there. I'm not into really guessing what that was. I'm not really trying to guess or infer what Phil Jackson was trying to say by the use of the word posse. This whole thing, it's like, you know when you're writing it that, oh my gosh, you know, some people are going to be totally on LeBron's side on this. Some people are going to be totally on Phil's side on this.
And some are going to be like me and say, "My goodness, really? Are we down to this?
Yeah.
Are we down to defining, and finding the definition and the intent of every word in the language now?" Because I will tell you this: you said a moment ago you couldn't swear that you've never used the word posse to LeBron in print or in writing, or about him and his crew and his friends. Or if you just used entourage, I can swear to you with certainty that I have used it on live radio in Cleveland and other places around
Correct.
The country, because it has never been a racially coded word to me. It has just been a word that's used. And I'll give you an example to bring it current here, Rick, and then we'll move on to talk about actual basketball. If you watch the HBO hit show Westworld, I do not. I've seen like one episode of it. But it's a show called Westworld, and apparently it just got picked up for season two. Well, one of the actors in it, his name is Jeffrey Wright, and this tweet was from earlier today at it's just past midnight, midnight on this day, Tuesday. He tweeted out, congrats, and he happens to be an African-American actor for what it's worth. Congrats to all the news, or on all the news today, to my hashtag Westworld Posse fam. Let's hit it again next season with more tripped out love and fire, ! So here's a guy who's using the word, and I never would have blinked at it and said, yeah, he's talking to his friends, his posse. Posse, to me, has always been, even in modern culture. I mean, the dictionary definition, of course, refers to Western times and a group of armed men who join a sheriff to go catch bad guys. That's a posse in those terms. But modernly,
right.
Posse is code for my group of friends, my circle of friends, my crew, my posse, my homeboys, my entourage. You pointed out. I've never would have blinked at that from Jeffrey Wright from Westworld until this story broke, and now I'm thinking to myself, does Jeff Wright know that he just stepped into a fire here by using that word?
I agree with everything you just said. excuse me, and I agree 100% that you using the word posse is not racially motivated in any way. At the same time, if somebody tells me it does offend them, then I'm gonna try to take that into consideration and say, okay, you know what, you made me think about something I hadn't previously thought about. I'll choose a different word next time out of respect to you and how you feel.
Sure. And I don't think there's anything, that's a reasoned response saying, hey, you know, if you don't like that going forward, understood. But as long as you please, and this is, if I'm Phil Jackson, my hope here would be, hey, okay, sorry, didn't know you didn't like that word, but you'd have to know that it certainly was not a racial connotation for me, so I won't use it anymore, but would you please publicly state that you know that I didn't use it in a racist way? Because that is certainly, like I said, I cannot imagine a man like Phil Jackson, who has made his living surrounded by his best friends in the world, all being African-Americans, that he's coached and worked with, and his colleagues, et cetera, I cannot imagine that that was the case, and I would hope that LeBron would acknowledge that.
I would agree. I think LeBron was, I think he knew this question was coming this morning, Bobby. He seemed kind of prepared for it.
Sure.
And ready for it. Because he's not afraid to say, when he's been asked about a few other, things in the past, you know, I don't know enough about it to comment.
Sure.
He didn't do that. He commented on it for pretty close to 10 minutes. You know, and he's in a position where he can do that.
There's not many athletes who can, and athletes have his platform. There are a lot of great players in the world and a lot of great, you know, different sports and very marquee names, but he's in that stratosphere. He's in that Jordan Ali type of stratosphere very few people have, and he certainly likes to take advantage of that.
Yeah, let me just say this before we move on. You know, Michael Jordan's received his fair share of criticism for never really taking a stand on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's unfair to criticize LeBron for taking a stand on something. I think he has to watch, though, because he's walking that line where if you take a stand on everything, pretty soon you may not really be taking a stand on anything. If that makes any
sense. That's very, very profound. Yes,
people,
it does, Rick. It makes perfect
people
sense.
People may grow tired of your opinions after a while because opinion is just that, an opinion, and everybody has one.
Sure.
Some are better left kept to yourself. But I don't have a big problem with him in this instance. I think it affected him directly. It affected his mother. It affected his friends, his business partners. So, you know, he said what he said, and the news cycle we live in today, by this time in a day or two, we may have moved on to something entirely different.
Yeah, and I would certainly hope so, to be honest with you, because I hope this one goes away quickly. I think it is being completely overblown. I do blame him in part for that, because I think the response is a little bit outsized, given the context in which Phil Jackson used it. It was just in such a passing manner. I don't think such offense was intended, and I really hope it does go away. Let's make that happen. Let's transition to basketball.
All right.
Cavaliers and Raptors tonight, they obviously a rematch from the Eastern Conference Finals. Are they once again? I know Atlanta is also 7-2, just like the Raptors, both chasing the 8-1 Cavaliers, and the Hawks gave the Cavs their lone defeat. But are these two teams tonight on the floor at the Q once again the top two teams in the Eastern Conference?
I don't know that there is a clear second best team in the Eastern Conference. I think the Cavs are so vastly superior to the entire East that it doesn't really matter who is the second best team in the Eastern Conference, be it Toronto, Atlanta, Charlotte, or whoever else might get hot and end up in that spot. I think they're ultimately fighting for just that, to be the second best team in the East, which is better top to bottom, but still lacks superb quality in any city but Cleveland. I think the Cavs are light years ahead of where they were last year at this time. And I think they're going to continue to get better. They're 8-1, and they're not even really, you know, they've set an NBA record for 10 three-pointers in every game so far to start the season, and they're really not even shooting the ball that well yet. You know, Kevin Love's at 333, JR's at 364. Once those guys start making shots that they normally make, you know, this team could be really, really, really good. And that's, you know, got to be a scary thought for the rest of the East.
Yeah, I think you're right. But let's talk a little bit about the Raptors before we're done. And you might be right. When you say there's not a clear-cut second-best team, you're probably right, because some would argue that it's Boston, or it will be as they mature and grow together. Some will say that it is these Raptors again. Some will say that maybe the Hawks might make a run. Somebody might say Indiana. But to me, the Raptors, until proven otherwise, are still the second best team in the conference. And DeMar DeRozan has picked his game up to another level. Even though it's only through nine games, he's the NBA's leading scorer at 34 points a game. Do you detect a difference in him? Do you see him going out of his way to kind of become one of those elite scoring superstars in this league, or is he just kind of taking what comes to him from what you've seen?
You know, I haven't seen a ton so far, so I don't know that I can comment on that with any great insight. I think that, you know, it's clear that they're a backcourt dominated team, and that without both those guys playing great, they struggle to beat the upper echelon teams in the league. So I think he has to score, you know, maybe not 34 a game, but high 20s, mid 20s, for them to have a chance a lot of nights. And he gets to the foul line, you know, a slight build, but he's able to take contact and finish. And if not finish, at least get two free throws. I think he may be the best backcourt player in the league, actually, when it comes to free throw attempts. So, you know, he's a very, very, very good player, and as is Kyle Lowry. And they're going to have to contend with those guys tonight, but they're still a little suspect.
Were you surprised, if I may, Rick, were you surprised that DeRozan signed for that long-term deal with the Raptors? Because there were rumors he might want to go back out to L.A. He's from there, and certainly would have been welcome there with the Lakers and had some other opportunities. Were you surprised he wanted to go back north of the border where he's playing in relative obscurity?
Not really, because the money was substantially more to stay there. I don't have the figures off the top of my head, but I think there's also an uncertainty with, you know, just where the Lakers are and where they're going. And to lock yourself up long-term to that early might have been a risk on his part and end up in unhappiness down the road. As great a player as he is, Bob, I think he kind of falls in that that group with Carmelo and other players like that, where, yeah, there's no question they're great talents, but they're not the kind of player, and there are very few of them, that you can just say, okay, we have him, we have immediate respectability, and all we have to do now is continue to add pieces, parts around them. Mm-hmm. They're not good enough to do that. There aren't many, and we're fortunate to have one of those in Cleveland. So I think he felt, you know, hey, we have something pretty good here in Toronto. We're closer to tinkering here than the Lakers are out there, which, you know, they were basically starting from nothing this off season. And I think he played it safe, and he got a lot of money, so he's not playing it that safe. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, there's nothing you would call risky about the kind of money he's making right now. Rick Noland is our guest. He's a Cavaliers beat writer, talking about this matchup tonight against the Toronto Raptors, and also about the controversy surrounding the Phil Jackson story. Jim Cushlin's got a question, too. Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah, just my one quick question, because there's not much as we know, guys, that's going wrong on the court right now for the Cavs. But J.R. Smith, he missed Sunday's game, slight ankle injury. Mike Dunleavy started. They're talking about him being questionable for tonight. What's his status?
I haven't heard any more beyond that. Ty Lue does not speak at shoot around, so that's something we'll find out here at about 5:15 when we talk to Ty Lue tonight.
Is Mike Dunleavy making as much of a contribution as maybe you might have thought he would when he was signed this offseason?
He's been really bad, quite honestly.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm asking.
he had one good game against the Rockets, and outside of that, he's really, really struggled. I think there's two factors in play. One, I think he's become way more of a standstill shooter than he has been for much of his career. I think he's one of those guys that's best moving off of screens and catching the ball while moving and squaring up and shooting. I think he'll adjust to the standstill role. I think the bigger issue for him right now is for most of his career, he's been a guy who's used to playing, you know, 24 to 37 minutes a game, and now he's playing 14 or 15, and I think he's just really struggled to find a flow, and I think he wants so much to fit in that sometimes you know, that only adds a little more pressure on yourself, and I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Rick Nolan breaking it all down for us, Cavaliers and Raptors tonight as the two top teams, or two of the three top teams with the best records in the Eastern Conference, go at it in a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals. Rick, thanks for your thoughts on all things basketball and, of course, off the court with the LeBron story. We certainly appreciate that thoughtful analysis, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Anytime.
Thank you, my man. Rick Nolan joining us right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. Next hour, we are guest-free. And it's a good thing, because I want to open up the phone lines to you and answer this question for me, particularly if you're African-American, but you don't have to be. Do you, in fact, let's just throw that qualifier out. I'm saying that because LeBron James said that he sees it as an African-American thing that they would be criticized by such a word like posse. He sees it as kind of a racially coded thing. But forget about that qualifier. No matter what color you are, no matter how old you are, do you hear the word posse and think to yourself, racist term? That's a term for young, successful black people that you want to criticize. Do you think that that's what that word means? Is LeBron James right when he says that about the word used by Phil Jackson? Define posse for us and tell us how you feel about it. As we continue, right after Top of the Hour Sports Center, 866-240-1065 is the number to join us right here on The Ticket.
Rising and gunning from the line is KCP, and he knocks it down. Green by Baines for Katavia. Steps back and fires and fills it up. Sweet. Not an easy shot. John Luehr can take it to the rim. Does. Lays it up. Lays it in. Count that, baby, and a foul. Tobias backs in, scoops it, scores it. 2 and 24, that's all. Tobias rises and guns, and it goes. Benno to the basket, scoops it, scores it. Clock at 5, inside for Baines. Hooks it, hits it.
That was a beautiful steal by Aaron Baines, who's been very active.
Tobias is open. In and out and back in again from downtown. On the break, Tobias jams it. Smith kisses the high glass with a hook on the run. The great Piston D has led to a 104-88 victory.
Defense at home has been great. We need to try to get our defense on the road up to the level of what it has been at home. For whatever reason, that's something that should be pretty consistent from night to night. But there shouldn't be the gap in defensive numbers that we have right now. We were really on it defensively. As tough as Russell is to stop, and he was tremendous again tonight, I thought we did a good job of limiting them. And then, you know, we did enough offensively, particularly in the first half.
Irving to Love. Love, hot step, hits the three. Love fakes the three. Nice pass inside. And James able to back it in. Kevin Love very active and aggressive to start this game. Tough fallaway shot. Gets the bounce. Kevin Love's 3 for 3. James gets it down low. Kicks it out. Love steps back. Kevin Love 4 for 4 from the field, and the lead is 11. Kyrie Irving, who bounced back in game 4, rattles that one in. Irving, oh, nice crossover move, and the left hand. Irving for 3, bang! James drives, and lays it in with a foul. Swarming defense, another turnover. Here comes James. And the Cavaliers are taking apart the Raptors.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Hour number 2 is underway right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Outstanding interview with Mr. Rick Nolan last segment of the program. Really, really enjoyed his take on everything from the NBA right now to, of course, the controversy surrounding LeBron James, Phil Jackson, and LeBron's entourage, posse, crew, circle of friends. What exactly will be the politically correct and acceptable word to describe LeBron James and his blank? There you go. Fill in the blank. What do we call it? And how do we know that whatever we choose to call it is going to be acceptable in the politically correct society in which we live? LeBron James taking Phil Jackson apart in much the same way you just heard that call of the Eastern Conference Finals from a year ago. With the Cavaliers, which beat the Toronto Raptors, as he said, they're taking the Raptors apart. Phil Jackson made a comment, if you just turned on your radio and you don't know what we're talking about, Phil Jackson made a comment in an ESPN interview with Jackie McMullen in which he was talking about Pat Riley's relationship with LeBron James and how the Heat really didn't know what to do with LeBron because the LeBrons need to be treated differently, special. He has different needs that he wants met. And I'm paraphrasing that because I don't have it in front of me again. Maybe I do. Hold on a second. I thought I did. At any rate, here it is. Yeah, the specific quote that Phil Jackson made about LeBron James was, and I don't want to read the whole thing again. That's why I'm doing this. Pat Riley, who has iron fist rules on his team, says, you are on the plane, you are with this team, you can't hold up a whole team because you and your mom and your posse want to spend an extra night in Cleveland. I always thought Pat had a really nice vibe with his guys, but something happened there where it broke down. I know LeBron likes special treatment. He needs things his way. So what got all of the controversy started is the use of the word posse, which LeBron James has decided is a racially insensitive word, and that Phil Jackson very well may indeed be a racist individual. First, part one, in response to a question this morning at the shoot-around in which a reporter asked him, what do you make of Phil Jackson's comments about you, your need to be treated differently, and to have things your way, along with your posse? And here's what LeBron James said.
I've been in this league 14 years, and, from the beginning, 2 years in, I felt like that I wanted to, put my guys in a position of power and give those guys an opportunity to better themselves. And, in the beginning we were highly criticized, and I was highly criticized about what I wanted to do to help some guys around me become very successful in business.
And I'm going to pause that there and announce that he's right on that point. He was very highly criticized. How do I know? I was one of those being highly critical. When LeBron James came into the NBA at the age of 18, back in 2003, he was, of course, the chosen one. He was the cover of Sports Illustrated as a 17-year-old, the chosen one. And he acted like it. He acted every bit the part of the chosen one, meaning I am the savior of this city, I am the savior of this franchise, and I can pretty much do what I want to do. And one of the things he decided to do, as he said, was make sure some of his friends were successful. One of the things he wanted to do was make sure that he could take his crew, whatever you want to call them, his high school buds, and bring them along for the ride with him. Even if they had no business being in the Cavaliers locker room, they were there. Being on Cavaliers flights, they were there. Being in Cavaliers team functions, they were there. LeBron brought his guys everywhere. And to say that that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, including some in upper management in the Cavaliers, would be an understatement, I should say. It would be accurate. It bothered a lot of people. But he brought them around, and I can tell you this, that on the radio and in other media around the country, but particularly out there in Cleveland, people called it what it was, LeBron James and his entourage, LeBron James and his posse, LeBron James and his crew. He's got to bring everybody with him. He gets special treatment, and it rubbed players the wrong way, too. I know that for a fact because I heard from some of them, and I talked to other beat writers like Rick Nolan who were in the rooms with them, and they didn't like it either. It was distracting to the team and to the growth that they were trying to achieve. So he was roundly criticized for that when he was younger. Let's continue with what he had to say this morning.
And, it just sucks that, now at this point, having one of the, biggest businesses that you can have both on and off the floor, having a certified agent in Rich Paul, having a certified business partner in Maverick Carter, that's done so many great business, that the title for young African Americans is the word posse. For me, we see the success that we had, but then it is always someone that lets you know how far we still have to go as African Americans, I just don't believe that Phil Jackson would have used that same term if he was doing business with someone else, working with another team, or he was working with anybody in sports that was owning a team that wasn't African American and had a group of guys around him that he didn't agree with what they did. I don't think he would have called him a posse. you know, but it just shows how far we still have to go. And, you know, but it won't stop us from doing what we need to do as a group. I've put together a great team. I've empowered some guys, you know, since I was a kid, and we've all grown together and become one of the, you know, people that try to model after. So we're not going to let Phil Jackson's comments stop us from doing what we need to do. It just gives us extra motivation. And, you know, it's just still sad, though, to see that, you know, people at the top always want to try to put guys in power down. So
that's LeBron James, the bulk of his statement. That's the bulk of his statement from this morning in response to Phil Jackson. The bulk of it was, this sounds like somebody in like Phil Jackson trying to keep a group of young, empowered African-Americans down. His words there at the end. And quote, that it sucks to have to deal with this and to have him use a word like that he doesn't think he would use around other people or to describe other people. Now, let me give you a little bit more. This is a follow-up question by a reporter who asks LeBron James about his relationship with Phil Jackson. And to say that LeBron James does not feel as though he has a relationship with Phil Jackson, again, is an understatement.
Zero. No relationship at all. I had nothing but respect for him as a coach, for what he was able to do. Obviously, he was at the helm of of my favorite player of all time, MJ, and also been there growing up and watching with the Lakers. But I got nothing for him.
You said you had respect for him?
Yeah.
Up until?
Yeah.
If you didn't hear that, a reporter follows up and says, you said you had respect for Phil Jackson? He said, yeah, up until this point, and he says, yeah. So in other words, he has no more respect for Phil Jackson, which, again, is fine. This is certainly LeBron James' opinion. He's being asked questions by reporters. He's answering them honestly. He has no respect for Phil Jackson. But now he goes on a little bit further and wants to, and this is why Rick Nolan even sounded genuinely surprised, that he spoke for almost, he spoke for 10 minutes to the media this morning, and about 7.5 of those minutes were dedicated to this subject. And once again, now he's telling people why he feels the word posse is an inappropriate word to describe his friends that surround him, that have been around him since the beginning of his professional career.
It's a lot, but to use that label, and if you go and read the definition of what the word posse is, it's not what I've built over my career. It's not what I stand for. It's not what my family stands for. And
I'm going to pause it there because I did this before too, just because, okay, he said to, a posse is described as a body of men typically armed, summoned by a sheriff to enforce the law. That's the old historical term of posse that we know of. Now, there is a more informal definition of the word posse given by the dictionary that is this: a group of people who have a common characteristic, occupation, or purpose. Now, if that more modern definition is the one that LeBron James is using, I'm still going to ask the question, in what way does he understand that to be racist or racially coded or racially insensitive? Unless he thinks the common characteristic isn't that they all are working together with the same purpose to build a business, that in his mind the common characteristic is their skin color. And if it is the common characteristic that he sees being the skin color, then again, I'm going to have to go back and ask about the number of other people that have used that word just to describe their circle of friends. This is my posse. This is my crew. This is my fam. This is my circle, whatever it is. Why is that particular one that has been grabbed upon by at least LeBron James and by others maybe in a more politically correct realm than I as being racially coded? But that's exactly what he says it is.
I believe the only reason he used that word because he sees young African-Americans trying to make a difference.
Are you surprised that
And again, we're talking about a man, Phil Jackson, who played in the league, who coached in the league for decades, who is now a president of a club in the league. He is surrounded in a league that is roughly 85% African-American by African-Americans. You would think that he gets along pretty well with African-Americans and would not be somebody that would be, quote, trying to keep young African-American men down. But that's LeBron's stand. That's what he says. Now, I'm going to push up a little bit here to the final statement that he made that I thought was newsworthy, and that was the one where he essentially says, yeah, I think Phil Jackson is being racist because...
You know, he says it out to the media. I can only imagine what he says when the camera's not on him or the headset is not on or whatever you guys record on. So he's got a lot more work to do.
If he says that out to the media, then you can only imagine what he says when the camera's not on him or the headset or whatever you guys record on. He's got a lot more work to do. That's a pretty heady charge. And as I said to Rick Noland, if you're going to accuse that man of being racist or insinuate that he is racist in such a way, you better have some material. You better come with some bullets in that gun, verbally, of course, speaking figuratively, of course. You better come with some ammunition. Because that is a pretty bad thing to accuse somebody of being who has his career in the NBA, who has his career working with minorities in one of the most diverse organizations in the world. That's a pretty strong thing to say about LeBron or about Phil Jackson. So the question is now to you. Do you think LeBron James is right? Is the word posse a racially coded word? Or is LeBron James being overly sensitive? Do you think Phil Jackson is being racist in any way by using that word to describe LeBron James and his friends? Let's go to Nate, who's calling from Toledo, and see what he thinks about all this on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Nate, thanks for joining us. Go right ahead.
How are you today?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
I believe that I had several conversations with you on subjects like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think in this situation, you may be very... educated to the point of you said, like you said, you were there in Cleveland when he was first in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I believe you're missing.
What's that?
Is that he's a young black man that came out of high school. You got that part right.
Mm-hmm.
But when he brought his young friends with him to empower them, you have to think about the meetings he had with those in power. The word posse in the urban lingo is talks about a group of guys that hang around you. It's almost in the same terminology as a gang. Okay.
In whose mind?
I'm a retired police officer.
Okay.
And we And so you use the word posse. That's his posse. Those guys are hanging around him. That's their posse. That's something that was even created and celebrated by young urban blacks. Okay, but if an older person, even me, being a black male, I'm 60 years old, an older person that in power. Used as a condescending term, you and your posse. We're not going to allow you and your posse to do this. It was a type of term to use for correction and to talk down to him. Now, there are those that I know that thought that LeBron should do a little bit differently as he was coming up and picking people to represent him, but he has proven himself to be right. For him, he has been proven to be right because he has empowered these young men. Think of all the meetings. Think of what he went through with the owner in Cleveland, that whole thing when he left for Miami. Think about when he went to Miami and made some of his dealings with Pat,
Pat Riley. Yeah.
Think of the meetings that he had with him and to be, say, hey, get on the bus. You're not hanging out with your posse tonight. You're going to do like everybody else and get on the bus. All right. And he used the word posse as a derogatory term. Okay. Now,
Hold on. When did you, I was never aware of what you just said. You're saying that Pat Riley used the word posse when talking to LeBron James?
Wait,
where do you see that?
It was on First Take yesterday.
That Pat Riley used that word.
Yeah. Not necessarily the word posse, But what he used was...
Hold on, Nate, you said it was the word posse. That matters here because that's the one word that LeBron is focused on.
Listen to what I'm saying. Words like posse is condescending when it's used by a older group, even myself, talking to a younger man.
Give me the other words then. You said words like posse. Which words are going to be considered condescending and off limits then to older people talking to younger people of color then? What other words are you talking about?
Okay. I was looking up some of the words. Hold on, Nate.
Forget about looking it up. You said you saw something on First Take, and you said that Pat Riley used the word not posse, but one like that. What was it?
What did he say?
Yeah, you quoted him as saying posse, and then when I said when, and you said, well, not that word, but something like it. Well, what was
it? Well, he said your crew.
Okay, crew. So is crew off limits?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not that it's off limits.
No. LeBron is making it off limits. Hold on. LeBron is calling Phil Jackson publicly.
You know what?
He's calling him out for using that word, Nate. So he's saying it's off limits.
No, what he's using is, what he's talking about is a condescending attitude. And you talk to any African-American, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. If you talk to any African-American and they feel you talking down to them, like the word boy. Boy in itself means the son of a father.
Mm-hmm.
But if you call an African-American a boy, it's a condescending term.
Well, then I think what we're talking about here, Nate, is we're talking about the destruction of American society as you and I have ever known it. Because if I can call one of my players on my basketball team boy and say, come here, boy, look what you're doing over here, and it's a white kid, and I'm telling him how to post up properly, and I can't say to another kid because of his skin tone,
you better not.
Then we got problems.
You better not.
That
you
word,
won't have a problem.
That word,
if you
hold on.
Call a,
if I can,
you
hold
call
on,
a,
hold on. If my, if okay. my, if one of my, one of my very best friends used to be a teacher out in Philadelphia, okay? And you know, Philadelphia is a pretty diverse community, and one of the at the school where he taught, there was a really high population of Asian Americans. And I went out to visit him one time. Well, actually, I wasn't out there to visit him. I was there with the Oakland Raiders when I used to work for the Raiders, broadcasting for them. And we were in Philly to play the Eagles. And I hung out with my boy on a – oh, look at that. I called him my boy. my white friend who's in his 40s, I called him my boy. And that's what we called each other. And guess what? I'm not condescending to him any more than I am anybody else. But I hung out on that Saturday with my boy, and he took me to the market, the West Side Market or whatever, or you know, the open air market out there in Philly. And he took there where he introduced me to what he called his Chinese posse. And these were his Asian American students, that they were his family. And they looked up to him, and he loved them, and they were the Chinese posse. His friends, he took them out and bought them food at the market on a Saturday when they didn't even have school. He said, anybody in the posse who wants to meet me up here, let's come and I'll hook you up. And that's what he did. And so when you say, Nate, in my mind, when you say that the word posse is condescending in some one culture, and therefore it must be accepted as such by other cultures, we're going to have a problem. Because what my friend was saying about those young Asian boys that he taught, they said, this is my family. The word posse is my family. That's my posse.
Yeah,
so how are we supposed to get by if we got to figure out what everybody, how everybody takes every word that we use in the language? We're done.
No, you won't be done if you're connected with them. You connected to your audience. I think you know your audience, especially when you're talking politically. You know who your audience is, and you know words even in this Trump candidacy, words that were coded. And so when words within themselves may be innocent enough, but it depended on how you use that word and what manner, it can be taken as being coded and condescending. And even derogatory.
My friend, we're going to have to end this part of the conversation. And you know I respect your call every time you make one.
Yeah.
Thank you for it. But I do got to get some other people on the radio. I'm going to say this in response, and thanks for the call. What you are describing, my friend, is the destruction of the First Amendment in this country. Free speech ceases to be free if we have to stop and process and figure out every word that we say, depending on our audience, as to whether or not they might take it as offensive, even if I don't mean it as such. If Phil Jackson doing an interview has to stop and think about every word he says and whether, hey, wait a minute, I don't think this is an inappropriate word, but somebody else might, so I better think of a new one. If that is the norm in America today, my friend, we don't have America today. The First Amendment is gone. It's gone. You know, he didn't use the N-word. He didn't use any variation of the N-word. He didn't use any racial slurs. He didn't use anything that hasn't been used in many other places to mean my circle of friends, my crew, my group, my boys, my my posse, my entourage, whatever. He didn't use anything that has you know been perceived to be racially insensitive in the past. And yet now here he is, Phil Jackson, being essentially called a racist by the most popular basketball player, maybe the world's most popular athlete today. Who's better known than LeBron James? Seriously, who in the NFL? Tom Brady? Nah, not even. Cam Newton? Nope, sorry. Nobody's more popular than LeBron James in any sport. Phil Jackson's being called one because of his use of a word like that. Now he's going to have to stop and rethink every word he says, and free speech is gone. It's just gone. And that's something that I have a big problem with, and I'm going to follow up with what I told Rick Nolan here before I take a time out and take more calls. The TV show Westworld. Kush, you ever watch Westworld on HBO?
No, I have not.
I watched one episode of it, and the only reason why is there was some description where people were complaining about it, saying this is terrible, this shouldn't be allowed on TV. And I was like, what in the world is the story? So I watched an episode of it, and it's some sort of sci-fi futuristic thing where it's basically time travel. It's like people in the Old West are kind of being acting out things in a theme park where they go to this theme park and like a futuristic theme park where they can kind of like almost like what's that old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, the one where he went to Mars?
Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall. Similar to that in concept, where people go to this theme park and then they get to go and act out all of their weird little fantasy trips in, you know, as different people in different time periods. Kind of like that is what I could gather from the one episode that I watched, right? Anyway, apparently it's a lot more popular than me because I don't like it. I didn't like it, and I didn't watch another one. But it's really popular because it's being called a hit, and it's just been picked up for a second season. Now, one of the actors in this movie, or excuse me, in this series on HBO, his name is Jeffrey Wright. He's a black man. I'm looking at his Twitter feed right now. And this black actor named Jeffrey Wright tweeted at 12:08 overnight, just this, you know, today, but right after midnight. He tweeted, quote, "Congrats on all the news today to my Westworld posse, fam. Let's hit it again next season with more tripped out love and fire!" Exclamation point. It got 81 retweets thus far that I saw and 560 likes. It got zero complaints that he used a racist or racially coded word. Nobody, from what I can see on Twitter, complained about the use of the word posse. Congrats on all the news today to my Westworld posse, fam. Let's hit it again next season with more tripped out love and fire. And there's a reason why he's not getting any complaints on that. Because there's nothing wrong with the word. It just means those are his people that he's surrounded by. Those are his, you know, that's his crew. That's his friends. That's his coworkers, his colleagues, his goombas, I'm trying to think of every language that I could think of here to describe friends. And he chose posse, and it's okay. But it's not okay in certain circumstances. And when some words are okay in some circumstances and not okay in other circumstances, guess what we have? We have the loss of free speech in America. And we have a politically correct society that is hell-bent on destroying people and destroying their careers and their reputations and not as concerned with advancing other people. That's the problem as far as I can see it. More of your phone calls coming right up after this timeout.
Hit. Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 1065 The Ticket.
Back indeed, rolling onward. Final segment of the broadcast this afternoon. Thanks for being a part of the show, LeBron James. What do you think of Phil Jackson? LeBron, yoo-hoo. Where'd LeBron go? Huh? I don't know what happened. I had LeBron James ready to go here, but it seems to have disappeared on me, the audio anyway. So Maybe I won't be able to bring it. Let me give it one more shot here before I can, because I just want to reset the stage for those who are on hold right now and waiting to talk to us. What do you think of Phil Jackson using the word posse in his interview with Jackie McMullen, Mr. LeBron James?
Said immediate only. I can only imagine what he says when the camera's not on him or the headset is not on or whatever you guys record on.
If he says that to the media, you can only imagine what he says when the camera's not on or when the headset is not on or whatever it is you guys record on. There you go. He's essentially calling Phil Jackson a racist. If he says that publicly, can you imagine the stuff he says privately? That's a pretty strong charge and one that I really hope he can back up. Otherwise, it's pretty disparaging to a man who's made his career in the NBA. Let's go to Dean, who's calling us from Toledo. You are on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Hi, Dean. How are you?
Bob. I hate these topics.
But they find their way. They find a way onto our sports pages every day, don't they?
They do, and I'm going to weigh in quickly so my blood pressure doesn't get up, and I'm going to keep this short and sweet.
All right.
John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, back in the day in the Westerns, what did they call the Cowboys they rode with? Their posse.
Indeed.
What do you call the gentlemen that row in the boat? Their crew. These are no way racial statements. The problems with America are LeBron James. And, Nate, if you're still listening, educate yourself before you call, buddy. Bob, have a great day.
All right, Dean, thank you for the call. I will love everything that you just said except for the last part. I will take issue with what you just said about Nate. Nate is a good caller. Nate is a regular caller. Nate is a very educated caller, and I've had some really, really good conversations with him. We just disagree on this. He is a believer that we should all stop and think about how every word we say will be received by someone else before we say it. Because the onus is upon us not to offend. When I say us, I mean the speaker in a given situation. Rather than on the receiver of that speech to not be offended by every little thing. And that's the difference in this country. That's what has made us the very politically correct society in which we live. Political correctness is, of course, not speaking freely for fear of offending someone, even if you do not intend to be offensive. But if somebody might take offense to it, well, we got to alter that. That's why all of these safe spaces and trigger warning places and everything else on college campuses have sprung up all over the place. That's why. Because people are like, in here, we don't offend. We don't. In fact, you might as well be better off just coming in here and not speaking, because in here, this is a safe space. And nobody is allowed to say anything that might remotely offend. I don't want to hear about anything. If you tell me that flower is pretty, I might have a problem with that, because pretty might be a trigger warning for me. Because maybe I didn't get called pretty enough when I was a little girl, and you're telling me that inanimate object over there, that plant, is pretty, but I didn't get called pretty, and you don't have any idea how much that hurts my feelings, and it brings back all of these memories, and the pain is just so great. Yeah. That's what we've created. Is that an extreme example? Yes. Is it an inaccurate one? No. No, it's not, sadly, truly. And that's the difference. Nate thinks we should be more careful and respectful of what somebody else thinks a word means, even if what you are using it to mean is not offensive at all. Troy in Bowling Green is next. Hi, Troy. Thanks for waiting. You are on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I hear all this, and what I jump to is, if LeBron wasn't a Cleveland hometown boy, and I don't mean boy in a bad, I heard the other caller say, well, boys are jarring.
The fact that you have to correct that now and say that is an example of what I'm talking about. What kind of country are we living in where you can't say that he's a hometown boy and have somebody say, oh, I didn't mean it that way, by the way. If you heard the word boy there, it wasn't intended to be racially coded as being some sort of an insult. But God help us if that's what we have to do. Troy, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that just struck me as...
But that's exactly what I mean by that. And here's the other thing. You could have said LeBron and his boys, LeBron and his gang, LeBron and his posse, all those things. But LeBron wouldn't have been able to do those things if he was drafted by the New York Knicks, the Lakers, Boston, Chicago, any of those places when they were well established. The reason he got to do that was because he was a hometown boy, and mm-hmm. Cleveland needed him more than anything else. I mean, he was going to stay.
You are 110% correct. There is no other owner in the league that would have allowed him to bring all of those guys on the road trips, bring them into the locker room, bring them into all of the Cavaliers' functions, the way they allowed him to do these things. And that is what irritated a lot of the Cavaliers' players who went to the front office, went to the general manager, went to the owner and said, man, you know what? This is not fair. Can I bring my friends in here with me everywhere we go? I know he's LeBron James, but why does he get to do that? And the front office told them, just sit down and be quiet. We got to make sure this kid is happy. And if you want to know the truth, that's why the Dan Gilbert letter that became so famous or infamous in his Comic Sans font when he just went off on LeBron James after finding out that he was going to go to Miami and take his talents to South Beach, that's what Dan Gilbert was talking about. He basically said, we gave this guy everything. We bent over backwards for him. We let him do all these things that we wouldn't let other players do. And this is the way he repays us, by stabbing us in the back and going somewhere else. And that was one of the things that made Dan Gilbert so angry and upset, is that he allowed LeBron to do these things. So, you know, and I think that back then there were probably a lot of people. I know for a fact, because I was doing Cleveland media then, I know for a fact a lot of people talked about LeBron's posse, his group of Mav Carter and Rich Paul and Randy Mims, and they all get to go wherever the Cavs go, even though nobody else gets that same treatment.
And I agree with that 100%. I think it's also a generational gap when, you know, Phil's almost 70 years old, and you're talking about when he came through, it was old school, this, that, you know, and their mindset still hasn't changed. If he got to come back and coach, he would coach old school, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, it's a generational gap thing, too. I don't think he meant anything racial by it. It's more of, well, that wouldn't have went over well in my day, or that wouldn't have went over well in some of my organizations. I think it's more of that kind of statement.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I do, and you're right. There's no way he meant anything racist by it. Now, did he mean it to be insulting in some way? Yeah, but not the word posse, just that the whole statement was insulting. He was saying that, you know, Pat Riley had a hard time dealing with LeBron James, who wanted to have things his way. He wanted special treatment for him and his mom and his posse. The whole thing was kind of a way to denigrate LeBron for being above everybody else. That is no doubt what Phil Jackson was saying. But saying that this guy was a pampered superstar, which is what it is a lot different than saying, you know, Phil Jackson was being racist by using the word posse. And that, to me, is very irresponsible.
Yep. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, man, thank you for making the call, Troy. We always appreciate it. All right. We're not going to have time for any more, I can tell you that, because we're up against it here. But I just take that with you when you watch coverage of this story tonight on TV, if you're watching SportsCenter or anything else. You know, take that into consideration. Was Phil Jackson trying to be insulting to LeBron James? Yeah. Clearly, his statement to Jackie McMullen in that ESPN interview was clearly intended to be insulting, saying that LeBron had to be special. LeBron had to be treated differently than everybody else, and that was hard for Pat Riley to deal with because Eric Spoelstra didn't know how to deal with that, the coach at the time. But using the word posse was not meant to be insulting. It was meant to mean the circle that ran with him everywhere he goes. And that is not in and of itself a racist term. And I'll tell you what, if we accept it as being one and if it's off limits, we are going to have a very, very limited vocabulary in our country for the foreseeable future. If people can just co-opt words and say that word is code word, that word is code word, oh, that one is clearly a code word meant to insult or be racist or whatever, then we're going to have such a small vocabulary, we're going to end up grunting to one another. We're going back to caveman days. That's the problem. Don't let that happen, my friends. Don't let that happen. Let's have a little bit of common sense. All right, that's it. All the time we got today. Drive Time coming up next right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. Stay where you are, and I'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.